And based on today's passage of Philippians 1, verses 19 through 26, today I will preach entitled, Living and Dying in Christ. When we read a book that is based on a biographical sketch of a famous person, unlike a novel, we already know how that book is going to turn out because that person is famous and we know something about the life story. And Bible is the same way. Bible gives us a clear conclusion as the book begins with the creation of the heaven and the earth, and then it ends with so-called recreation, right? That God will judge the world that is broken and then usher in his people into this newly created heaven and the earth. So books like Bible, we already know the ending, and then we are reading the book. And this applies not only about book, but it also applies on our life as well. Think about our life. We're all living our life in present moment. However, we also know that our life will end in certain way, and we know how it's going to end. Death is waiting at the end. And according to the Bible, after we pass from this life, we will have to stand back in front of our Maker and give an account as to how we lived our life. So if you believe the Bible, you are all the more clear about how this life will end. The book that is you, your life, will end. So when you believe in this, the question continues to linger on. The question of, how would God evaluate me? What kind of grade will I get before God? There's no way we can't just bypass this question. Regarding the question and the answer to this question, how will God grade me? How will he evaluate my life? How he's going to score my life? Right? Apostle Paul, in verse 20 of today's passage, says, I will not be at all ashamed. But by at all, he means in all circumstances that he finds himself, I will not be ashamed. Now notice the verb is in the passive tense. So the actual subject of the one who's doing either feeling shame or not feeling shame is actually God himself. Now this is a very strong conviction about his life, how it's going to end, that he's going to get a praising grade. And when you think about this, knowing that our life is headed towards a certain end, that there's nothing better to have this kind of assurance that in any turn of event, God will not be ashamed of me and he will be glorified through me. If you believe in life and reality according to the scripture. Now, we're doing just that. We are reviewing life and a gospel and our hope according to the book of Philippians. And in the book of Philippians, there are some very famous Bible verses, and you know, one coming up in chapter 2, another chapter 3, another chapter 4, and so on. Now, chapter 1 also have one very famous verse. It's actually our today's verse, 21, which reads, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Now, if you have been part of any kind of a discipleship training, of any kind, you most likely have heard this verse, and then perhaps the leader, the Bible study leader, was making you memorize it. I did that too in Campus Crusade for Christ. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Famous verse. And this is while Paul was explaining how he believes that I will in no way be ashamed by God. And that I can truly rely on. And in the middle of sharing that, he says, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So we are going to look at this in sort of close proximity to the scripture and also reflecting onto our lives. And as we do that, I pray that in each and every one of us and in our heart, for to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain, becomes the anthem of our life. Continue to be a stronger and stronger anthem for our lives. And then also that just as that confession goes, in each and every circumstances that we find ourselves, even the circumstance that we are in right now, that we will fix our heart in glorifying the Lord and advancing his gospel, Let us continue to do that. Now, for the past 4 weeks prior to today, every Sunday we've been looking at the book of Philippians, and we looked at the relationship between the apostle and the local church, and that there was this relationship that formed that is termed gospel koinonia. Right? So they believe the same gospel, they apply the gospel to each other in their relationship, and also they have purpose, life's purpose in the gospel. We also saw, in order to build up a church, a healthy church, what we should be praying for when we pray for each other, when we pray for my ability to love another church member. We learned about the prayer. And then starting last week, Paul began to talk about his present circumstances, that he was in Roman jail, he was imprisoned, but then instead of thinking of it as an imprisonment, he was thinking as that he is chained to Christ, he's bound to Christ, and in order to advance his gospel, Lord Jesus had me there. He put me there to do some work. And then last week we saw how, as Paul is bound to Christ, that there are other people, because he was in Roman prison, that they are bound to Paul. They were listening to gospel because Paul was there, and then gospel was advancing in their hearts. And then while Paul was in jail, there are other people outside of jail, they were actually bound to the gospel because of Paul. They heard the news of Paul's imprisonment instead of shying away even more to not to stand out as a Christian in a very anti-Christian culture. They actually went out and they were working to advance the gospel. They were inspired by what Paul was going through. So we looked at all this, and then today, he actually gives us a reason as to why he lives like this, why he can have this joy and thanksgiving, even in his present circumstances. And it has to do with how he views his own life and how he views his own death. So today, in 3 points, once again, we will look at how Paul views his life and death. And then let us begin to apply that into our perspective for our own lives. Our first point today, to us Christians, let me ask, what does it mean to live? What does it mean that you live as you are a Christian? Now, when you look at that verse that I pointed out, verse 21, when you look at it carefully, he says, "For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." So there's is, you know, to be verb. But when you look at the actual, the Greek version, there's no verb. Paul was being as succinct as possible, as short as possible. What he says is, "For to me, living Christ, dying gain." That's all he said. So when you take out the article, it's just two words each. Living Christ. Well, what does he mean by that? I mean, you can't shrink it even further than that. Living Christ. Well, actually, there's another passage where he actually expanded it to tell us what he means by that. And that is Galatians chapter 2. And if you have your Bible with you, can we go to Galatians chapter 2, which is two books before Philippians? Let me read that long verse 20. And in the middle, I'm going to pause once. But let me start reading Galatians 2:20. It reads, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." To me, living is Christ. When you expand that, what you get is, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me." And then, you know, this kind-hearted apostle, he actually says the exact same thing one more time in different terms. He says, continuing on, "And the life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." So he says the exact same thing in different sentence. But he is stressing that single point, which is summarized in two words in today's passage. Living is Christ. Who is Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ is the eternal Son of God who 2,000 years ago came to the world as human in order to solve the problem that we cannot solve for ourselves, the problem of our sin, problem of our corruption. In order to be the answer for us, he has come in the flesh like us, and he has offered himself as the atoning sacrifice, meaning he offered himself as the payment for our sin. Jesus was not condemned or cursed because of his own sin, but he surely was condemned and cursed, and he was for our sin, because he took our place of curse and condemnation. When he was nailed to the cross, he was despised by the people like us. And he was also abandoned, forsaken by the Heavenly Father. That's what death on the cross meant for Christ. But he didn't do anything wrong, right? He did everything right, yet he became that perfect sacrifice to cover for us, as we have sung today. He covers us there with his hand. He completely covers us, covers all our sinfulness. So what Paul was saying is, Jesus Christ was crucified on the cross for me. That's what Paul is trying to say. But then why does he say in that Galatians passage, I have been crucified with Christ, when in fact it was Jesus Christ who was crucified on my behalf? He says that because without Jesus being crucified on that, you know, cursed and condemned place, I have nothing to speak for with regard to life. Right? Imagine Jesus did not cover me. Imagine Jesus did not die for me, and he did not take my place of death and condemnation. Then, yes, I can have momentary joy and pleasure in this life, but there is a sure and awful end of my life coming. So it's as good as dead. I'm as good as dead. Because my joy and my laughter, my pleasure, all are momentary. But because Jesus died on that cross, I can live. Therefore, when Jesus died on the cross, I also died with him. I died with him because without him, I am as good as dead. That's what he means by I am crucified with Christ, with Christ. Doesn't mean that he sacrificed himself for anything. Sometimes, you know, that verse is quoted as if, like, we are sacrificing for God. Absolutely not. There's nothing that we can do that makes it, you know, to be labeled sacrifice to God. We are not a perfect sacrifice. Christ was sacrificed for us. But because without it, we are as good as dead, we are crucified with him. We are dead in him, and then we have this new life in him. Therefore, my life is about Christ living in me. Right? He sustains, he leads, and he takes the credit and glory for my life. Now we come back to our passage, Philippians chapter 1. And then read back that famous verse, for to me, to live is Christ. It makes a little more sense as to what Paul means by that. To live is Christ. But let's look at it a little carefully, because he doesn't just say to live is Christ. There are two words. He says, two phrases, for to me, he says, for to me. Word for is basically because. So whatever came before this verse, verse 21, the reason for that is, to me, to live is Christ. So what came before that? He talked about the hope of being released from the prison in verse 19. He called it my deliverance. He also talked about being united to the Philippian church, right, and then serving them in the capacity of the apostle and so on. And then all in all, whether he is in prison or a free man, whether by life or death, he's joyful. He's joyful to serve the Lord and for the glory of God. Right? And why is he so joyful? Why is he so thankful? Because, for me, to to live is Christ. So word for is because, the reason for whatever came, you know, right before that. But the word to me is very strong. Right? To me means, I don't know about other people, but to me, to live is Christ. So when I was looking at this word and this phrase, to me, I could not help but to remember Joshua chapter 24. And it's, you know, in the early part of the Old Testament. And let me paint the scene. Now, through the leadership of Moses, people of Israel came to the doorsteps of the promised land. And Moses died without entering the land. And then it was Joshua who took the leadership baton and then led the people not only into the promised land, but to conquer the people who were settled there illegally and then to settle in themselves. So Joshua was at the helm in ushering people into the land of Canaan, the promised land. Now, towards the end of the settlement, Joshua gathered his people, the people of Israel, and he gave a sermon. In it, the gist of it is this: people of God, my fellow Israelites, we've seen for many years how the pagans and unbelievers of the land lived. They worshiped the idols, and they lived entangled in all kinds of sin, yet they didn't find any problem with it. Right? We also have witnessed plenty what God wants from us through his word and what it means to follow his laws. So we saw both camps. Now, it is time for you to choose. Make a choice. Is it going to be the idols, the pagan idols, or is it going to be the Lord and the God of our ancestors? You make a choice. And then in Joshua 24, verse 15, he says that famous line, "But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." We will choose the latter. And in the same spirit, Paul is saying, I don't know about other people, but as for me and my house, for me, living is Christ. To live is Christ. What he's saying is, Christ gave me new life. And now the business of my life is to do his will. And what he wants me to do is to go and advance the gospel. Advance the gospel in the hearts of people, that those who do not know Christ, they'll be taught and they will receive. And then the faith in Jesus Christ will set, you know, roots in their life and then bear fruit. Gospel advance. And that's what I'm doing. That's my purpose. People think that going to prison is an awful thing, and it is awful. People think that, you know, going to prison is like being cursed, condemned. But if Jesus has me a work to do in prison to advance his gospel, I will gladly go there. I don't consider that a curse. I don't consider that condemnation. I actually consider that a glory, because Christ is sending me there to advance his gospel. For to me, to live is Christ. My brothers and sisters, Christian life is such a life that if you take out Jesus Christ as the reason and the purpose, the entire life falls apart. You know, if you've ever been to camping and you've ever been have set up a tent, what you can see from the outside is the tent fabric and it's standing up. But what makes the tent stand up are the frame of it. And those flexible, you know, fiberglass things that you stick through, like a bamboo things, you know, you stick through, and then they actually hold up the tent. Imagine you pull those sticks out, the entire tent will collapse. There's nothing wrong with the tent, but it just wouldn't hold up. And to Christian life, Jesus Christ is like the frame of the tent. You pull Christ out of your life as the purpose, as the goal, as the object of glory, your life just collapses. Now think about your own life. Think about your daily events, things that you love doing, people that you meet, people that you avoid, right? Your have-tos and want-tos, everything that constitutes your days. And guess what? Those are the building blocks of your life. Your life and your lifetime, it's not a fancy thing. It's basically time and what you are preoccupied with. That's your life. Now, in all the activities, whether it is mind's activity or your, you know, actual visible activities, in all those activities that constitute your day, take out Jesus Christ. Does your day still stand? Does your day still have meaning? If it does, then the confession for to me to live is Christ is not yet your own. However, I do not mean that means that you're not a Christian. That's not what I mean. Because even in today's passage, there are a lot of hints that as Paul is able to say, for to me to live is Christ, I don't think the people of the Philippian church are able to say that, claim that confession for their own. I think that's why Paul, one of the reasons Paul says, for to me. The reason I say that perhaps the Philippian church wasn't there yet, as Paul confesses, is because of verses like this. Look at verses 24 and 25. He's talking about when he's released from the, if and when he's released from the jail, that he will visit them in verse 24. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary on your account. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with you all for your progress and joy in the faith. So Philippian church was full of people of faith. There were genuine faith, saving faith, mind you, but their faith had to progress. Paul's faith apparently has progressed farther than theirs. And Paul will be glad, although he confesses it's better for him to be in heaven with the Lord, that if God has still work for me to advance the gospel in your hearts, Philippian church, I'll be glad to do that for the progress of your faith, for the joy, meaning deeper and deeper joy of faith. So my brothers and sisters, if you can't readily say, yes, Christ makes my life work. If you take Christ out of my day will collapse. I will have no meaning, no purpose. If you can't say that, yet you confess the name of Jesus Christ, you know, don't run away from the church. Don't run away from this message. But there's one more thing you need to do. We need to progress in our faith to a point that the confession for to me to live is Christ becomes more and more of your own confession. And it is more and more evident of your own life that Christ makes my life work. He's the purpose. He drives me, right? And he's the end goal of me. So let us not give up on seeing our life that way. Although we might not readily be able to confess that right now, continue on. The last verse today, verse 26, he continues with this. He says, so that in me you may have ample cause to glory in Christ Jesus because of my coming to you again. And Paul is saying, if God has me continue to work with you on earth, then because of what I do in the work of advancing the gospel in you, that there will be more and more reason for you to bring glory to God, to find glory in the Lord. And Paul was fine to continue working as a capacity of an apostle like that. But his heart was with the Lord, for he already died with the Lord. So this is what it means to live for Christians. Then second point today, to us Christians, what does death mean? Death itself, what does it mean to us? Now the same verse 21, the second part is actually more shocking than first, meaning to live is Christ. You know, that was, wow, that's powerful. But what's more shocking of a confession is the second part. To die is gain. What does it mean by that? To die is beneficial for me. He continued on to say, it's far better for me to go to heaven right now. There's nothing in this world any kind of amenity that I either enjoy or any kind of hope that I can have about this world, there's nothing in this world that could match up with the joy that I'm going to have in heaven with the Lord. So it's far better for me to be with him right now at this moment. Now, why is this shocking? For us to hear the apostle say, to die is gain. Because knowing the reality of death, it is more fitting to hear, to die is a curse. To die is despair. To die is horrible. It's more, we're accustomed to hearing that more than to die is gain. It is more beneficial. Now, why does Apostle Paul say to die is beneficial? Is it because death is a good thing? Is death good? Does God use death? He does. He can use death, someone's death, for his glory, to express a reality about himself, right? To spread the gospel message. He uses death. But because God uses death, does it mean that death is good? Absolutely not. Death is no good. Death is horrible. Death was never the design of creation. Death only came with sin as a result of sin. Death is no good. What death does, especially among the loved ones, is they make two loved ones separate by force as one experiences death. Right? They don't want to separate. Right? They don't want to leave each other. Yet death has that power. Death is a horrible thing. And as we announced today about the passing of Pastor Jameson Stockhouse, he was battling cancer, which started in his colon and then spread elsewhere, for 14 months. And there was a support group on the site called Caring Bridge. So people who were praying for him and also financially supporting or getting updates. When he had the strength, he made his own entries, and then later his wife did the entries. Now, he died, pretty close to midnight, so early, the turn of the day, early part of the day, and then that night, his wife, Christy, made an entry. I really appreciated that because, I mean, she was in such grief, but then to let the supporters know what happened and then where they are. And she wrote that, and let me read a portion of it. She says, "I truly can't believe Jameson is really gone. It doesn't feel real. It just feels wrong. And the truth is, in this broken world, that is not as God made it to be. We know it is wrong. So we will grieve. We will cry. We will lament how sad and awful it is to lose someone we all love so dearly. I am so thankful for everyone who I know weeps with me today." When I first read that, I could not hold myself. It was so sad, so sad. But my brothers and sisters, we have a Redeemer who not only came to cover our sin, but as a human being, he rose from the dead. He broke the bondage of not only sin, but sin's greatest weapon, death. This is our Redeemer. Would you turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 15? 1 Corinthians chapter 15, the closing section about the resurrection. And I will pick up from verse 55. So 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55. Paul says, the same apostle says, "O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Jesus Christ gave us victory not only over sin, but also over death. Death is a horrible thing. Death will separate loved ones. However, to Christians, death is not despair. Death is not that the person who died was cursed or condemned when that person is a brother or sister in Christ. Death is not the end. It's only the beginning. It is the new beginning of the new creation. It begins with the resurrection, and then it leads us into the new world where, without sin, joy and thanksgiving and peace simply rule and rule all the time, forever. We know how good it is when something good happens in this life, but it is simply no comparison to what will be good up in heaven. Pastor Jamerson, you know, he suffered for good 14 months. Is he suffering right now? He's not suffering. Tears of his wife, grief of his family is fully justified. However, it's not because we have lost him forever. It is because we miss him so much. Yet underneath our tears and grief is this strong sense of assurance that his battle with cancer is over now. He's a perfect being now. He's perfect. He's in joy, thanksgiving, and fullness of peace in all aspects of his life. That's why to die is gain for us in Jesus Christ. And if you're still in 1 Corinthians 15, look at the last verse. So following what I read, verse 58. Therefore, my beloved brothers and sisters too, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of our Lord, knowing that in the Lord your labor is not in vain. Regardless of circumstance, regardless of where you are, even in Roman prison, even in dungeon, that you can rejoice, you can give thanks. So, for Christians, we can't talk about living without talking about dying. We can't talk about dying without talking about living. The problem of death has been resolved by our Lord Jesus, and now it comes right back to life. Continue living faithfully because your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Praise the Lord. And finally, let me twist that question, the second question again, and to ask to us Christians, now, what does it mean to die yourself? We talked about what death means to us. Right? Horrible thing, but it's a gain. Then what does it mean that you die? Now, as young people, depending on how young you are or how young you think you are, it's not an insult, but depending on that, you know, perhaps you didn't think about yourself dying this day and age. And I think age has a lot to do with whether or not you're thinking about your own death, especially in our Western hemisphere. And sooner or later, we'll be thinking about ourselves dying. And you wonder, you know, in what manner would I be meet my death. But one thing for sure, even as we die, we have a purpose in the Lord. Purpose is to advance his gospel, even as we are dying. And we get that right from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Second chapter of Philippians, it says, Jesus obeyed the will of the Father even to death. Even to death. Even his last breath was in obedience to the Heavenly Father's will. And every step he took out of heaven and onto this earth was advancing the gospel, right? But then the climax was his death on the cross. Without him dying on the cross, we do not have that gospel message. But he was advancing, he was perfecting the gospel, even with his death on the cross. And so it is with us as well. Just because our death is impending, that we're about to die, doesn't mean that there's nothing for us to do. Even in our process of dying, God has us to advance the gospel. And when I was thinking about that, I grieved over the state of the Protestant church and the popular gospel of prosperity and healing and, you know, healthy life and so on, which is not wrong. However, we are trained so much to pray for healing, yet none of us are really being trained how to die. If you're familiar with the Korean Protestantism, there are so many prayer, mountain prayer houses and places like that where you receive a terminal illness and the doctors in the hospital, the Western medicine so-called, they say, you know, there's just no way that you're going to recover. And then they go to the prayer mountain to do what? To prepare their death? No. They're taught to engage in this battle, spiritual battle with the Lord to heal me, heal me, heal me. Now, if 100 people received the terminal illnesses, out of them, how many people are purposed by God to be healed? A fraction of them. Yet, all 100 people are trained to seek healing from the Lord. And none of them are equally trained to prepare for their death, so that their death will advance the gospel. It is a sad truth, isn't it? It is a sad truth. But thanks be to God, our church has an apostle. We have the apostles, one of whom is Paul. Right? Berkeley Grace has, you know, Paul as the apostle. And Apostle Paul, apostle of our church, is teaching us the teachings of Christ, saying, even in my death, I will continue to advance the gospel. Whether by life or death, Christ is exalted in my body. Psalm 116, verse 15. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. As a Christian is in the process of dying, and God sees it, and that process is precious to the Lord. Because while he was advancing the gospel through his life, he is also advancing the gospel in the hearts of other people, all the witnesses, through his dying as well. Now, going back to Christy, wife of the late Jamerson, Pastor Jamerson, in the same journal entry, she wrote this. This is how it actually began. She said, last night, just before midnight, I said goodbye to Jamerson. Words will never express the pain and love and sorrow and gratitude of that moment. He breathed his last faint breath, his heart stopped, and I could hardly believe that mine kept going. More times he was comfortable and his pain was minimal. In the last few days, he was mostly sleeping. But the days before, we had moments I pray I never forget. He continually praised and thanked God. In the moments where it was clear that our prayers for healing were unanswered, he trusted God more, not less. He was ready for heaven. Even as his mind had more confusion from his liver shutting down, he could not stop talking about the love of God. As we read the Bible to him, he would ask for more and responded with a simple amen or it's true. Here's a brother. Here's a man. He was advancing the gospel through his death. Now, he came to California and he settled in San Jose to plant the new church there. And church never got going because he got sick. Now, when you say that, someone might label him a failure. But was he a failure to advancing the gospel? Absolutely not. You know, I am certain of this, that when I go to heaven, Jesus will greet me not with words as, you know, something like, Pastor Ernest, come. No. Jesus will greet me simply, Ernest, come. I'm a pastor, as Jameson was, but that has nothing to do, the title has nothing to do with our reward, how we are going to be received by Christ. Title is simply the capacity that God has given us to serve him. No matter how big your company was as the CEO or the head of the company, no matter how large your family is, None of that really counts towards how Jesus is going to greet you. Those are just simply instances and circumstances in which God puts you to be faithful to him. What counts is, in all circumstances, have we loved the Lord and believed in his word to continue advancing his gospel? Whether we are a free person or imprisoned in Roman jail, what have we done with the time that he has given us? I would go as far as to say, it could just be true that for Pastor Jamerson, all the years of seminary training, all the years of him serving as an assistant pastor, internship, all those years that led up to no church plant, yet that might have been the preparation God had in mind for the moment of his dying, for him to continue glorify the Lord, have a clear perspective as to who our God is. He's our good God. He's good. He doesn't mean wrong. He doesn't mean evil towards us, although circumstances sometimes hurt a lot. I would believe if God said all that was not for the church plan, but for that moment, for his deathbed, to be a man of faith to his last breath. I would believe it. I would believe it. So my brothers and sisters, our life is ongoing right now, but know that it's leading and inching our ways closer and closer to a certain end. The end is very clearly articulated in the scripture. Let us never forget that. Let us also never forget that Christ and only Jesus Christ has resolved the problem of death for us. That it is truly our gain. It is our gain. Therefore, let us not treat death as a curse or condemnation. Let us treat it as finally we're entering into a better realm and better ground, better world. And until that day comes, let us, through our living and dying, continue to confess that for to me, to live is Christ, to die is gain, and my purpose is found in Jesus Christ. It is that in all circumstances to advance the banner of his gospel in the hearts of people. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much, Lord, that in our continued journey through the book of Philippians, we are learning not peripheral issues of life, but central ones, Lord. Today we talked about living, dying, and death itself. Lord, we thank you so much that your scripture gives us a clear answer as to how we should look at these big topics and the assurance and gladness of your intervention in our lives. Lord, be glorified in our life as we progress in our faith and our joy, to continue understanding who you are and what you have done for us, and that the confession of the apostle, once so foreign to us, will become more and more of our own confession. Lord, once again, be with the remaining family of Pastor Jamerson, that although they're not here with us in this worship service, that they will continue to say to live is Christ and to die is gain, and that in all, their husband, son, father, brother, church friend, Jamerson, truly lived a successful life. And the legacy of the faith and the legacy of the object of his faith, Jesus Christ, will live on in everyone who knew him. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.